Blog Talk Radio.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, oh, oh,
oh.
Glory, glory,
glory,
oh, oh.
Glory, glory.
Now the war is not over, victory is in one, and we'll fight on to the finish, and then it's all done.
Woman and child, even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the league of justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. The biggest weapon is to stay peaceful. We sing, our music is the cuts that we bleed through. Somewhere in the dream we had an epiphany. Now we right the wrongs in history. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Shalom, Israel. Hope everybody is doing good in their portion of our Father's vineyard. Knowing the significance and the importance of this day, today is the Feast of Trumpets. This is an appointed time from the Most High, our Creator, the day that we're supposed to keep holy have a holy convocation. It is a Sabbath day. So we will do no servile work whatsoever. In preparation for this day, had my self and my children going with another brother named Bertus. And he was trying to teach us how to blow the shofars. One of the days, or the day that we did learn how to blow the shofar, he did a prayer for us. I'm going to play that prayer with you because we're supposed to start off with a prayer. Of course, men and brethren, we will face Jerusalem where our Most High will come down. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, everybody will see him. New Jerusalem will descend down. We're supposed to be facing that way in obedience to understand that we want those commandments to come down and rule over us. Men with our heads uncovered, women with their heads covered. And again, we do this in obedience. But we're going to play the prayer that my brother did for over me and my family. It's going to take about a minute. I'm not exactly sure if we'll be able to hear it that well, but we'll go over that, and then we'll get right into the class on the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, and that was it. About a minute long. Again, brother, as we were trying to learn how to blow our shofars, gave us a little class. I'll probably load it up online. Just got to work out the bugs on the volume so we can hear it. Did a prayer for me and my children as we learned how to sound off the shofar. And again, in accordance to trying to get to this day, Feast of Trumpets. Says, we get ready for the Feast of Trumpets. My two of my children are going to blow the shofar for me. This is my wife. She's going to say shalom.
Shalom.
To the house of Israel. You ready, boo-boo? So the two children I have here that's going to blow the shofar is my oldest son. His name is Ray Adams. And then I have my daughter here that's going to blow the shofar for us. Her name is Nicole Adams. Might take us a minute because we are not perfect. And again, 1 second, we're going to say. Say Shabbat Shalom to the Hebrew nation.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. And here we go with the blowing of the shofar, Feast of Trumpets. Well, that was my two. Thank you very much. Shalom. All right, so now we're going to get into the lesson. And the lesson is Feast of Trumpets. The when, the what, and with who? And now my family's out there laughing because one sounded better with the shofar than the other. But again, our lesson, giving all glory to the Most High on one of His feast days. We're going to start off with Leviticus 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And this is part of my offering. This will be my sacrifice that I'm doing towards the Most High. Some of the things we're going to look in those two little verses. This is a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. And the first thing we're going to look at now is the wind. And to get to the wind, we're going to do some things that's very important for us as Israel. And believe me, we are the congregation that was in the wilderness. We are Israel. But he says, when we first start off with Leviticus 23, these are the feast of the Most High. These are the feast of the Lord. This is the feast of Ahaya Shahaya. This is the feast of I Am That I Am. So let's look at what the feast means. So the first word we're going to look at is Moed. And you can find that in your Strong's Hebrews Concordance. It'll be 4150. And the short definition of the word moed is meeting. We're going to go through every definition. When it says feast, it means appointed feast, appointed feast, plural, appointed festival, an appointed meeting place, an appointed place, an appointed sign, an appointed time, times, appointment, assembly, a definite time, feast, as in plural, festival of assemblies, fixed festivals, meetings, a meeting place, meeting places, seasons, set time, time, times, and times appointed. So that word feast, when we're talking about these are the feasts of the Lord, the feast of your God, the feast of Ahaya Sharahaya, the feast of I Am That I Am, understand that means an appointed time. And that was Strong's 4150. To understand what that means by an appointed time, if you are a Hebrew Israelite or any woman in general, any woman that needs to get their hair done, of course, most of these places you have to make an appointment. If you don't make your appointment, you can't get your hair done. And if you miss your appointment again, all these things line up with you happen to be somewhere at a particular time. Nowadays, at a doctor's office, they charge you the copay. If you miss your appointment, break your schedule out, giving them a notice, they'll charge you for that copay. Anyway, you have an appointed time. At work, the ones of us work, again, we have to be there at a fixed time and an appointed time. But this is an appointed time for the Creator of the Most High. And going back to the word, it's a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. And today is the Feast of Trumpets, and we're going to prove that out of what is the wind. And it says a holy convocation. So, again, we're going to look at what holy is. Because that's what, if you're keeping these feast days, and this one, the word holy will go Kodesh, short definition. Holy means consecrate, holy, holy, holy one, holy ones, one is holy, saints. Some other definitions we have of God as separate, apart in soul, exalted as on a throne, separated from human infirmity, impurity, and sin. So those are some of the definitions we have as holy. So you're supposed to have an appointed time that is separated from the world. And it says, what is the last part? A holy convocation. So you have an appointed time that's separated from the world that we will assemble. And that's what the memorial of the blowing of the trumpets is. So if we keep in line with the Father's feast day, on that trumpet, we will have something that's separated from the rest of the world, a holy convocation at his appointed time. And we are rehearsing this today. You know, we have some that did it on, which we'll say the 13th. We'll have some that did it, I think, around the 7th or so. But here I'm saying this is the appointed time of the Most High. This is when you're called out to do it. This is when the Most High has ordained it for it to be. And again, we're going to go into the Word to bear out that fruit. For all those Christians or those that see this Word right here and do not keep any of the appointed times, I will read this for their understanding. We're going to go to Hebrews 10, and we're going to start with verse 22. Now, let's go back one further. We're going to go to Hebrews 10, verse 21. In having a high priest over the house of God, my high priest, and the reason why I'm going to say I'm so confident with today is the appointed time, and this is the time that we're supposed to keep Kodesh, is because my high priest is Yeshua. After the order of Melchizedek, we are going to keep what he has already ordained from the beginning of time. That's how far back we're going to trace the blowing of the trumpets, the feast of the trumpets on this day, his appointed time. And again, we're reading this for those that don't want to keep none of his appointed times. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So some doesn't keep this at all. All of us keep it in error. Some of us keep it after the manner of the Gentiles. And we're supposed to keep this day, which is the Feast of the Trumpets. And it says, as you see the day approaching, as we understand what the day approaching and what they're talking about with the Feast of Trumpets really is, it makes more understanding of what he's actually even talking about when we're in Hebrews 10:25. That we're supposed to be provoking one another to love and good works. Again, having a holy convocation on our Father's appointed time is a good work. Making sure we keep up with his commandment is a thing of love. Keeping the commandments is how he show you love him. So to understand and put this in this true context, knowing that there is only one high priest, there's only one that can ordain the times that we're actually supposed to worship. And that is the Christ. We follow after his example, no other man's example, no other man's teaching. Call no man rabbi. We only have one teacher. And he's already taught us what we need to do. We consider this, and this is a good work. And ever such more as we see the day approaching. So what is the Day of Trumpets? When does it take place? So, going into the wind, we're going to go right to the beginning. And in the beginning is Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heavens to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and years, and let them be for the lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, and a lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So in the midst of the week, not my words, nobody else's words, in the midst of the week, the Most High, your Creator, made signs, seasons, for days, and for years. It started on your Wednesday. That's what He did. He created your timepiece for you on a Wednesday for you to track time. And again, the word must be in agreement with it, so we'd be able to look at different places in the word to see if this is fact. Now, you have a creation week where the Most High, His Son, He followed every instruction that the Creator gave to Him, and He was that light into the world. Everything, that spirit that covered over me and my brother V, we did that one day, reading about all the spirits and how the creation, how important that Sabbath day was and how all those things went out. But on the fourth day, in the midst of the week, that's when you're able to calculate your time, because He put the sun up there. He put the moon up there for you to calculate your days and your years. He also made it for your signs. Now, as we're going through this lesson, did Yeshayah make any signs for you to be able to calculate time? Did He put that out in the word? And does it line up to what He says at the very beginning? With this understanding that we're going to try to get into, I'm going to go to the book of Enoch, the book of Jubilees, to help get us understanding of our Creator's time. And here I'm telling you that the Creator's time is different from the Gregorian calendar that we're under today. It's different from the Juliano calendar that Yeshayah was under his day. It's different from the Mayan calendar. It's different from any other calendar you want to put. I don't care how much accuracy they say to this point, this, the other. You don't need all those points. There's no decimal points in the Most High's calendar. Absoluteness is an exactness. The same way your body must run exactly or you become sick, the Most High calendar runs exactly. So we're going to look at the book of Enoch. And to get understanding with the book of Enoch, before we go to the verse we want to read, we're going to go to Enoch chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read up to verse 3. The words of the blessings of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and the righteous. Israel, you are the elect, but are you righteous? Because these are the blessings that came from Enoch, the words and the blessing of Enoch, where he blessed the elect and the righteous, who will be living in the day of tribulation. So this is for the elect and the righteous on the day of tribulation. The reason why we blow the trumpets, because it's getting us ready for the day of tribulation. Again, verse 1 in Enoch, we're going to pick it up. When all the wicked and the godless are to be removed, One time I did a lesson on asking Israel, what are you praying for? And one of the things I said to you is, are you praying for this wicked nation to stop having authority over you? Or are you praying for a brand new car? Are you praying for a stereo system? Are you praying for a bigger house? What are you praying for? But here in Enoch, the very first chapter, this book is written out to the elect for the day of tribulation, when the wicked and the godliness people will be removed over us. So that's what we should be hoping for. We're in verse number 2, chapter 1 of the book of Enoch. And he took up this parable and said, Enoch, a righteous man whose eyes were opened by God, saw the vision of the Holy One in the heavens, which the angel showed me. And from them I heard everything. And from them I understood and I saw, but not for this generation, but for a remote one, which is. So again, he wrote this book for a remote generation that will be living in the days of tribulation. Is that you, Israel? Is this the reason why this book is being held from you? Because this is one of the books I'm going to go to right now so you can get your reasoning on what time we're living in. And this was written for the elect, for the righteous, for the day of tribulation, not for Enoch's generation, as he said, not as the Most High told him, not for his generation, but for a remote one to come. Verse number 3, Enoch chapter 1, concerning the elect. And I said, and I took up my parable concerning them. So it starts off talking to the elect, about the elect in the last days of tribulation. That's what this was written for. And again, the Feast of the Trumpets, as we get into this lesson, is starting off and it will tell you about what tribulation is and the reason why we blow the shofar, Feast of the Shofar, the Feast of the Trumpets. That's why we do this. It's for tribulation. But Enoch bears fruit for this when he first starts writing it out. And again, I'm not wavering. Today is the Feast of Trumpets. But we're going to go to Enoch, chapter 72. And again, to get good understanding of the times, to get understanding of seasons and the things that were ordained in order. You can read Enoch 69 to 72, but I'm starting at 72 and we're going towards the end, verses 31 to 32, because we're going to focus on one set thing so we can know when we start our year. That's where we're going to focus at from the book of Enoch. When do we start our year? When is the Most High's time year to start? Enoch, chapter 72, verse 31. And on the day the sun rises from the portal and it sets in the west and returns to the east and rises in the third portal from 1:30 morning and sets in the west of the heavens. On that day the night decreases in amounts of 9 parts. And that day, 9 parts, and the night is equal to the day. And the year is exactly as it's the days, in 364 days. So Enoch says, on that last day, there'll be 31 days in that cycle before the end of that year. And it'll be equal. We're counting the equal, as we say, the equinox, the vernal equinox, equal days, equal nights. And as we get to reading, we'll understand why he said 31 on that last day. We'll go to the Jubilees to get better understanding for that. But he said we'll be equal on that 31 day. And the next day, you'll be able to start your year. So we have equinoxes, two to be exact. So what is the equinox? On the equinox is night and day, and nearly exactly the same length, 12 hours, all over the world. This is the reason it's called an equinox, derived from Latin, meaning equal night. Now, you'll get some people that do their teaching using Jubilees, using the same book that I'm using, Enoch, trying to get the understanding, but they will come up with completely different days than what I have right here. So I'm going to tell you, you don't have to go to no observatory. You won't have to go to the Naval Observatory to see when they get their vernal equinox, because they'll tell you right before you get to your page, they do an estimation, a guesstimation, an estimated time that they did for a reference for all these years, and they'll come up with different things. The equinox we'll use will get right from the horse's mouth, we'll get from Jerusalem. Longitude and latitude. Longitude, east 35 degrees, 14 minutes. Latitude, north 31 degrees, 46 minutes. But we'll get that right from Jerusalem and when their equinox is. When does it take place? And we're getting this information off Israel equinox dates at Jerusalem and coordinates. The original Latin definition of equinox, the time of equal days and nights for most locations on the earth, is 2 days a year when daylight and darkness are the closest of being divided exactly, 12 hours in length by the sun and the moon. After the long nights and darkness in winter, it is when the sun and the moon are divided the day, so there are, again, 12 hours of daylight and darkness, and the days for Jerusalem, Israel location usually occurs March 16th and 17th. After the long days of sunlight in summer is when the sun and moon is divided the day, so there are again 12 hours of darkness and sunlight in the day, which usually occurs September 26th and 27th. There are not a universal equinox for the whole earth that occurs when astronomers calculate it, when the center of the sun courses and a man divides the invisible equator that is located equal distance all around the earth between the north and south poles, is divided the earth in two hemispheres. The astronomer's equinox dates at the equator is March, usually occur around the 20th and the 21st. So we can do Israel, where their date occurs on a Tuesday, on that 31st day. That's when they have it, and next day is the start of that new year, Wednesday, which is the midst of the week. That's what it says. It always starts for Israel. Again, going back to that Israel equinox facts and dates, that goes back to 2006. They calculated or do their little thing going all the way down to 2054, equal day, equal night, March dates, September dates. Again, they got their dates for the 16th, the 17th, the 16th, the 16th, the 16th, the 17th, so on and so forth for the March, and then 26, 27, 27, 27, 27, 26 for the September dates. But then again, they use what other people say they do. They use their equinox off the north and south poles. That's what the astronomers use, and they do their calculation. It's a little bit different, off about a week or so. Maybe that's the reason why some of you people are doing yours like a week prior to mine right now, going off the Naval Observatory. Following information was taken the U.S. Naval Observatory. That's when they do their sun and rise off their guesstimation, about a week early. But again, we're going to let the word speak. Now we go into the Book of Jubilees. And we're going to start off in the book of Jubilees, chapter 6. And get some good understanding of what we need to get to. We're going to start at verse 16. We're going to read two verses from 16 and 17 to get understanding. Jubilees chapter 6, verse 16. And he set his bow in the cloud for a sign. There should not again be a flood on the earth and destroy all the days of the earth. For this reason is ordained and written on the heavenly tablets that they should celebrate the Feast of Weeks in this month once a year to renew a covenant every year. We stand in the book of Jubilees going down to verse 28. Chapter 6, verse 28. And on this account he ordained them for himself as a feast of the memorial forever, and thus they were ordained. Book of Jubilees, chapter 6, verse 28. Now we're in verse 29. And they placed them on the heavenly tablets. Each had 13 weeks. From one to another, past the memorial, from the first to the second, and from the second to the third, and from the third to the fourth. And all the days of the commandment will be 250 weeks of days. And these will make the entire year complete. Thus it is engraved and ordained on the heavenly tablets. So what do we read so far? What makes up a week? First in Enoch, we heard 364 days. We'll see if we'll bear that foot out there. In Jubilees, will be 364 days. And here it said 52 weeks. So if you divide the number 7, because that's how many days we have in a week, into 364, you will get exactly 52. And that will make a complete year. And again, what do we read out in Genesis? We know the creation week, the first was a Hayabah on that fourth day. That's when he set up you to have your time, please. We're not talking about a cortex watch. We're not talking about any kind of fancy Timex. We ain't talking about a boulevard. We ain't talking about none of those things. This is the Most High's time that he's ordained. And he started his off in the midst of the week. We just read on the observatory for the Israel thing that the end of their 31st day was on that Tuesday. The next one will start on that Wednesday, always for them. Not a guesstimation assumption, but always that day. We read on the first verse that there will be four different parts here on verse 29 in Jubilees, 13 weeks. What we see as a season goes from 30, 30, and 31. So 30 days in 1 month, 30 days in another month, 31 days in another. So you have 4, 4, and 5, 4 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, which will give you 13 weeks, 91 days in one season, 182 days would give you what we would call 7 months. But here we're going to keep letting the word speak. Make sure we got good understanding. And it says in verse 31, chapter 6 of Jubilees, and there is no neglect this commandment for a single year or from year to year. So there's no neglecting this commandment going all the way back to creation, going back to the time of Noah, going up to when Yeshua, going back to when Moses, going up to Daniel, going up to our time we living into right now, if I die, going up to my children become my age, and if they croak, if the Most High hasn't came back then, he maybe came back by that time because we in the last days. But whatever time it is, from this day forth, from each year forth, it is on that time. As he said, there's no neglecting this. We'll get many of Israel to neglect their own children, but there's no neglecting this commandment. verse number 22. He commanded, thou the children of Israel, that they observe the years according to this reckoning, 364 days, and these will constitute a complete year, and they will not disturb it in its form of its days and from its feasts, and from anything will fall out of them according to their testimony, and they will not leave out of any day disturbing any feast. So the feasts are the appointed time. And he said, according to their testimony. So we will have to look for there's any testimony in the word that backs up when the Passover is, when it started, the beginning of the year, because 14 days you count for the Passover, that is the beginning of the year on that Wednesday. Does it line up? Just because if you follow this, if you're the children of Israel and you observe this reckoning, 364 days, it will not disturb any of the appointment, any of the appointed time you have. And there's testimonies in the word that should back this up. Verse number 33. But if they do neglect and do not observe them according to his commandments, to whose commandments? To Yeshua's commandments? To the Most High commandments? Again, we're saying that these things, as we keep reading out, bear fruit, that there are fixed times, that the Most High has an appointed time that will not change. And it says, according to the testimony and according to his commandment. What did Yeshua say about a sign about him, Matthew 12:40, that he'll spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth? What did he say that this is the Passover? And we know that the Passover had to start when? When did that Passover had to start? The first of the month started 2 weeks before that. 2 weeks after that was the 14th day. It started when, as Daniel said in 9:27, in the midst of the week. When did the calculations start for the world, for us to keep tracking time? In the midst of the week. Back to verse 33. We just start from the beginning of reading this. But if they do neglect and do not deserve them according to his commandment, then they will disturb all their seasons and their years and will be dislodged from their order. And they will disturb the seasons and the years and will be dislodged, and they will neglect their ordinances. That's what the Most High said about his word. That if you don't keep with his commandments, so if his commandment was that he died in the midst of the week, that they not first fruits, but days of unleavened bread is the next day after Passover. So we see that on Thursday. We see the 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We see that he rolls up before the first day of the week even started. So that would be a Sabbath day. And the next day will be first fruits. We understand these things should never be dislodged. So what if the man is teaching you that the Passover is on Sabbath? Can he be correct? I'm talking to those that are in the GOCC, United of Israel in Christ. I'm talking to those that call themselves rabbis that go into a biblical calendar that goes 365 days a year. Different from the word says, only 364 days, 52 weeks a year. That's the reason why each day keeps following on this exact time, in this exact place. You got some people that do this teaching, and after they get done with this teaching, they say, hey, now the Passover is on a Sabbath day. Ain't no different than you following a pope when he's saying Easter is the Passover, and it falls on a Friday. It doesn't get 3 days and three nights out of that. You're supposed to do this once a year, as we've posted read, each of these feast days. Verse number 34. The book of Jubilees, chapter 6. And all the children of Israel will forget and will not find the path of years. They will forget the new moons, which is a new month, and the seasons, and the Sabbaths. And they will go wrong as to all the order of the years. So right here, when we first started, I told you this is a Sabbath day. This is the Feast of Trumpets. This is Sabbath day. So people are calling other days Sabbath days. People are having different seasons. verse number 35, Book of Jubilees, chapter 6. For I know, and from henceforth I will declare it unto thee, and it is not of my own devising. For the book of lies written before me, and on the heavenly tablets of the vision of the days is ordained, lest they forget the feasts, which are what? Moed appointed times. Unless they forget the feast of the covenant and walk according to the feast of the Gentiles. Some of us walk to the feast of the Gentiles to what? Christmas, Easter. Some of us are walking according to the feast of the Gentiles on our Father's days. How can you have fellowship with those he called the house, the synagogue of Satan? That's their time. We're going to read 35 again. For I know, and from henceforth I declare it unto thee, and it is not of my own devising. This is not of my devising. For the book of lies written before me, and on the heavenly tablets, the division of days is ordained, lest they forget the feast of the covenant and walk according to the feast of the Gentiles after their error and after their ignorance, alas, of knowledge, Gentiles. What does it say in Jeremiah 10:2? Have nothing to do with the way of the heathen. Don't follow after their ways. For there will be those, verse number 36, Jubilees, chapter 6. For there will be those who will assuredly make observations of the moon, how it disturbs the season and comes in from this year to year, 10 days too soon. For this reason, the years will come upon them when they will disturb the order and make an abominable day, the day of a testimony. Again, what are some of the days of testimony? Is a Passover a day of testimony? The days of unleavened bread, are they a day of testimony? The Yeshaya, Yeshua, Yehoshua, whatever name you are calling him, because his name better be the word. Me and my brother were just talking about this. His name better be the word. Are you calling on the right name? That don't mean just saying Yeshaya, because that don't mean nothing. Doesn't mean anything to me unless you're keeping the commandments. Are you saying Yehoshua? Because it doesn't mean nothing to me unless you are keeping the commandments. Yeshai, Yah's salvation. Again, it can't mean nothing unless you're keeping the commandments. His name is the word, calling on the Creator. Are this day are his testimony? Because his testimony tells you to keep your body holy as a sacrifice. So if you're suffering, are you turning to the Creator? Again, me and my brother just talking about his show just the other night. When he was suffering, he turned to what the Father gave out to earth to help him heal his voice. He didn't turn to throat lozenges. He didn't go to 7-Eleven to pick up a 249 bolt of some throat quencher. So his name's got to be the word. Turning to his Sabbath day. Are you keeping everything else separate and studying the word? Are you keeping his path? Because that's a day of testimony. Otherwise, if you don't follow that, you're making an abominable day the day of his testimony. One brother thought he'll just get smart, I'll just make them all Sabbath day. But no, that's not what the Father ordains. Deuteronomy 4:2, don't add to, don't take to the word. Number 37, start at the beginning, Book of Jubilees, chapter 6. For this reason, the years will come upon them when they will disturb the order and make an abominable day the day of testimony, an unclean day, a feast day. And they will confound all the days, the holy with the unclean, and the unclean day with the holy. For they will go wrong as to months and to Sabbaths and to feasts and to jubilees. For this reason, I command it and testify to thee that thou mayest testify to them. For after thy death, thy children will disturb them, so they will not make the year 364 days only. And for this reason, they will go wrong as the new moons, new months, and seasons, and Sabbaths, and festivals, and they will eat all kinds of blood and all kinds of flesh. And that's where you at right now, Israel. Half of us don't even keep 364 days of that calendar. 365. It doesn't matter if they kept 363, 362, 366. It don't make a difference if it's an odd or even number. They can only keep 364 days. 52 days out of a week. 91 days in a season. 30 days in 1 month, 30 days in the next month, 31 days. And that 31 days is a transition from spring to summer. The 31st day is a transition from summer to fall. The 31st day is the transition from fall to winter. And back and forth we go. The same way we read in 72 in the book of Enoch. Chapter 72, verse 32. We read about that transition day that they had, and that was on the Tuesday. We look at the days of Jerusalem when it starts, and that next day will be the Wednesday, what we call the vernal equinox. Again, when did he tell you to start counting your time? He said he put the sun up there in the midst of the week. He put the moon up there in the midst of the week. He put what up there for the midst of the week? The stars. He made them for signs and for seasons and for Sabbaths. But here we finish in 38. It says you'll go wrong on new moons and seasons and Sabbaths and festivals, because you won't keep what was already ordained. So we read Jubilees, and we read Enoch, just to help get us some understanding in the Word, to get us to the place that we need to go to see. But I want to read some other things. We're going to go to Ecclesiasticus. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. And to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. So again, going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 through 19, when we read, he made everything with a purpose under heaven. Verse number 2 in Ecclesiasticus, and a time to be born, and a time to die, and a time to plant, and a time to pluck, and a time which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. We can keep reading this, but the Most High ordained these times. He had ordained seasons, that life begins in the spring. It's more abundantly clear. It doesn't start in January. That his Passover, out of Yeshua's testimony, out of his mouth, out of his words, is in the midst of the week. Daniel 9:27 tells you, Yeshua, Yehoshua, again, whatever name you want to call it, better be the word, so that he will be cut off, and all the sacrifices and oblations will cease in the midst of the week. He said, Matthew 12:40, he spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That adds up to the Sabbath day. It tells you in Jubilees that you will go erring. You will take the days out of their order if you don't listen to the testimony, and you don't follow the times that have already been ordained. So who time are you following when there's people telling you to celebrate the Passover on a Sabbath day. Because you're not following the testimony of the Most High. You're not following the testimony of Yeshua. You have now made a new rabbi. Not after what we read in Hebrews 10. My rabbi, my only teacher is Yeshua. I can go with other brothers as long as they go along with the word. Then we walk in agreements, we in accordance, but you cannot change the word. Daniel 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And things that change times and laws, and they shall be given to him his hand until the time and times and to the dividing of time. So we know the adversary is working on the Most High, going against his clock. Again, when you start reading Enoch, the whole purpose of Enoch is for the elect on the days of tribulation. The reason why we blow the trumpet, the reason why we blow the shofar is, again, as we see out, is for the days of tribulation. Matthew 12. Where are we going to start at? Let's start at verse 38. Get good understanding. And certain scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Again, going all the way back to the beginning, Genesis 1:14. What did he leave you? The sun, the moon, and the stars as a sign? All right, listen to the testimony of the sun. Verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there should be no sign be given to it, the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented in the preaching of Jonas, and beheld a greater than Jonas is here. The testimony of Yeshua, that he spent 3 days and three nights, that the Passover is 2 weeks of the month of Nisan. Again, we look at Exodus 12. You spend 3 days with the Lamb. Going back with Abraham when he went to go sacrifice his son, spent 3 days walking with the mountains afar off. But Yeshua, he tells you in his testimony, 3 days, three nights. We can count when was the Passover. When was days of unleavened bread? Count the 3 days. You get to the Sabbath day. He was already risen. Then there's first fruits. Every year they fall in that order. Counting your time, Wednesday. The same way was in the midst of the week. Thursday. Days of unleavened bread. The first day of the week, first fruits, count 50, Pentecost. If you count 182 days, that would be trumpets. Or as the word said when we read in Leviticus 23, 7 months. It's always going to fall on this Thursday. Somebody telling your trumpets is something different? How can it be? Now, we can study and reason out the word. I have no problem with reasoning out the word. We can reason out the word, but show me how the trumpets is on a different day than the Thursday. Show me how the Passover is on a different day than that Wednesday. Show me how days of unleavened bread is different than it was on the Thursday, because I'm going off the testimony of Yeshua. He's my only high priest. tell me how creation didn't start us counting time on a Wednesday. Because that's what he ordained. That's what he said out of his mouth. I don't have to do anything else. Leviticus 23. This is a Sabbath day. I already took this day off way in advance. Be able to take it off a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever may be the case. Day of Atonement, I'm already getting ready to when I need to afflict myself. Keep it going. Make sure I'm not putting nothing in this temple. I'm already putting too much trash in it as it is. But these things are already ordained. There's a simplicity to the Creator. Only thing you got to do is listen. Only thing Eve had to do was listen. Don't do this. It tells you count 364 days, 52 days, 52 weeks in a year. Each day will fall according to its exact time. That is what a feast is, an appointed time. You already got the appointment book. So, that is the wind. The wind. Feast of the Trumpets will always be on this Thursday. Will always be when life started. You're always getting ready to count 10 from this day. It was going to take you to that Sabbath day. Getting ready to afflict yourself. Making sure nothing comes into that temple on that day. Understanding that you need to make an atonement for all the sins you had. Passover is always going to be on a Wednesday. Days of Unleavened Bread is always going to be on a Thursday. Feast of the Weeks, First Fruits, always going to be on that first day, that Sunday. Trumpets, always going to be on this Thursday. It's always going to be 182 days. And again, if you go to what they have, the what they call the zero latitude, longitude, going to that website, you'll always be able to see that 31st day of winter being on that Tuesday, starting your calendar on the Wednesday. But that should be no surprise because that's what the Most High ordained from the beginning. You don't have to go to the Naval Observatory where they say do a guesstimation. You don't have to. Follow the words of the Most High. Now, Feast of Trumpets. That's the when. Now we're going to talk about the what. What is the Feast of Trumpets? We can look at all the other feasts that already came and understand that the Passover had its place. That Days of Unleavened Bread had its place, Feast of Weeks, First Fruits, but the first of the fall feasts, as we see in Colossians, it tells you to keep the feast because they're a shadow of something good to come. So I understand that the blowing of the trumpets, the memorial of the trumpets, the feast of the trumpets is something good for me to come, something that hasn't taken place yet. But when it does, the world going to know when it takes place. So the first place we're going to look at in the Word is 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when we see the trumpet, we hear that last trumpet, the dead, those righteous, those ones that know the word every day, buffing themselves so they can be in the word, are going to be raised uncorruptible. How important is that? But that's what you're supposed to be celebrating on this day. This is the Feast of Trumpets. 182 days, 7 months. After the Most High set up his time piece for you to count time. But we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Again, what are the clouds? You see Elijah and Ezekiel. Elijah. Cloud is a whirlwind. Ezekiel, he saw a cloud. You got people in outer space already talking about they'll be called up in the clouds. They're in another planet already. Probably at a beach, called up in the cloud. But the word tells you what the clouds are coming down to straighten some things out. Again, verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. They will meet the Lord in the air, and they shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What do we see in Hebrews 10:25? Keep even more as the day approaches. This is the day. This is the reason why we sound off that trump. Because we know our persecution is coming to an end. We know that the Creator is coming back. First, now I'm going to go in 1 Thessalonians. Go to Revelation 2:10. And John, being in Patmos, he was on the Spirit on the Lord's day as he heard the voice of the trump. And then that's when he saw all of the trumpets, all seven of them. That's when he saw Israel being reasoned with again in the wilderness. That's when he saw Babylon, that evil wench, to spread her gospel to all nations. Oh, yes. That's when he saw. He was in Patmos, in the spirit. You'll get some people that teach that unless you're in Israel, you ain't really keeping these days. But they're just spiritual. But again, I did another teaching on what the spirit is. The spirit has got to be manifested physically. So if you keep them spiritually, somebody should be able to tell. Somebody should be able to see what you are doing on these days, on these feast days, on these appointed times. Somebody should be able to tell if you keep them the Sabbath spiritually what you are doing. Because John, he wasn't Israel. Moses, he wasn't Israel when he kept the Passover. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't he in Egypt? So we're going to go down to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 10. And it says, because thou hast kept my word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. All the world. All the world is going to get this judgment. Now, you'll get some people that teach. They come out of, can I come out of America, this Babylon? Well, Babylon, is doctrine. It's spreading over all the world, not just here in America. That spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality, that's spread across all these nations. Am I telling you that America won't get a judgment first? Nah, it will. But that judgment that comes across America is going to come across Australia. That judgment that comes across Australia is going to come across China. It's going to come off Japan. It's going to come off the Philippines. It's going to come off the Israeli. It's going to come off them guys calling themselves Britons, them Scandinavians, Iceland, Alaska, Africa, Kemet, Brazil. It's going to come across the whole world, the judgment. You may get yours first. You may get your judgment first. So what does that mean? The wind of the Feast of Trumpets, it's always going to be on the 7th month, 182 days after we start counting from our, what? The time we start with our Father, the same time that He gave us from the beginning. It's always going to be on a Thursday. That's the when. The what? Is this whole world getting ready for His judgment from the book of Enoch, from the book of Jubilees, from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, from what we call the Torah. We're going to get this judgment. Ain't no running from it. Ain't no hiding from it. Now, the last part we're going to talk about, the Feast of Trumpets, who you're going to be keeping it with, is the who. With who is the most important. Because if you in America and you get your judgment first, you better be keeping the commandments. As He tell you in Revelations, if you hear them knocking, you better let them in. That name that you're calling on, that name that's supposed to be selling you in Revelations 14, that name that's supposed to be selling you, better be keeping the commandments. Here are the patience of the saints. Those that believe in Christ and keep His commandments. John, the Gospel of John. Yeshua prayed to the Father, saying that He hoped everybody, the elect, the world know that Him and the Father are one, that His words are the Father's words. There are no difference. Are your words different? Is your testimony different? If I came up to you and said, hey, brother, hey, sister, I didn't hear I need to keep the Passover. I didn't hear days of unleavened bread ain't done away with. When do I get this stuff? I know it happens once a year. Are you going to tell me, like the GLCC will tell me, yeah, the Sabbath day. Oh, then the days of unleavened bread is going to be on a Sunday then? First fruits is going to be on what? A Tuesday? He made everything a Sabbath day. Or what if I go to one of these other brothers? And I say, hey, I done heard. I need to keep these days, these appointed times. Help me out, brother. When do I keep these appointed times? Well, it's 365 days a year. They always change. We're going to look for a new calculation. Some days the Passover is on a Wednesday. Some days it's on a Thursday. Next year it could be on a Saturday. It depends on when the leap year hits. If the leap year hits, we can start all over and it'll be on a Monday. My Father, 1 Corinthians 14:33, He ain't the author of confusion, but of peace in the house of Israel. Are you the house of Israel? My children here, I don't know if they said it or not, but I told them, you know, say shalom to my Hebrew Israelites. Are you a Hebrew Israelite? Are you called out to walk with God? Are you called out to walk with Ahaya? Are you called out to walk with I Am That I Am? You don't need no other pretense or no other name other than the church, the same name of the church that was in the wilderness. You are a Hebrew Israelite. And I don't care what any other man or woman says. You'll test my fruit and you'll test their fruits and you'll be able to tell if who's a Hebrew Israelite or not. You can tell. If you tell me you need to get baptized, we're going to go through some water. What is somebody else telling you? If you ask me for something in the Word, I freely receive, I'm going to freely give it away. Will somebody charge you for it? I'm a Hebrew Israelite. He tells me not to make no sign above or no sign below. So you ain't going to see me with no six-pointed star, no star of Molech. You ain't going to see me with no cross on. He tells me when I walk out my house every day, is a day that I'm supposed to be building up the kingdom. I'm supposed to be keeping the commandments. So I don't need to get dressed up in all black or all white or look a certain way on a certain day. The only thing I need to keep, what he told me, is my teachings. You understand that with who is the Creator, is Yeshua, is the Most High. He's going to keep you safe from the day of tribulation. He's going to keep you safe when those trumpets start to sound and he wants to go seal his elect. He's going to keep you safe if you know his name. His name is the Word. You can't be kept safe in America if you don't know who he is. You can't be kept safe if you're in Africa if you don't know who he is. You can't be kept safe if you're in Israel if you don't know who he is. In Japan, Iceland, Germany, you name it. You can't be kept safe if you can't keep the commandments. It is what it is. Everything else told to you is a lie, and it comes from Satan. The only thing that's going to keep you safe in the hour of tribulation is being with the Most High, is being with the Creator, having him dwell inside you. Some of the things that make me laugh, that is straight blasphemy, and it's from the people that call themselves Hebrew Israelites. They'll say different things like, you need to make sure you get your passport. Make sure you need to do this. To make sure you keep looking at that. Don't you hear what Obama said last week? Don't you understand? If I have the Most High dwelling in me, he's not keeping anything secret from me. He ain't keeping no travel plans away from me. He's not keeping me in the dark what the adversary is doing all around me. If I have the Most High in me, I know what I need to say to my children. I know what I need to say to my wife. I know what I need to say to the grandparents, to the young ones that are just coming up, to the grandkids. I know what to say, and I'm not going to have to say the same thing to them every time. It may be different every time. I may have to become something different for that person. I can't talk to my 14-year-old granddaughter the same way I talked to my 24-year-old son. I would have to become something different. But in the same time, keeping the commandments. Let the words that come out of my mouth, let the seeds that come out of my mouth fall on fertile soil. It's up to them to pick it up, to ingest it. And let it grow. Let it fall on fertile soil. They could cast it to the side. Everybody in my family is not ordained to go see the Creator, go to the Most High. It's a small path that's going to do that. I'm too busy trying to be like Paul, making sure I don't come up short. I thank the Creator. You know, will I be sad if he decides to take something away from me, that the day of tribulation happens, that Jacob's trouble hit me before it hit some other people, I'd be sad or something. Of course I will. But would that change the fact that you got to keep the commandments? The with who is Yeshua. The Feast of Trumpets is what is supposed to be centered around your mind and your thought on this day, today. Should be the Most High, should be the Creator and keeping His commandments and learn how to keep His commandments into your life. That there is going to be tribulation coming. There is going to be troubles for Jacob, no matter what month it is. This Gregorian calendar don't mean nothing. It don't. I don't care if they tell me they start in CERN on September 23rd. I don't care if they tell me that they're going to send a man out in space on this day or that day. I don't care if they tell me they make another. Their calendar, what day they say, don't mean nothing. 364 days in a year. I'm counting weeks, the Sabbath weeks, to get to what point I need to get to. They need to be more worried about what my father going to do when he come back and see how wicked and evil and ungodly you were. We just read in the book. When we just ran out of Enoch, what are you praying for? Trying to get me fearful? I ain't feared nothing. I'm going to keep these commandments. I'm rolling with them until death. Feast of Trumpets lets me know everybody else better start worrying about when he come back. Because I don't be like the one sitting around the throne. I'm going to be saying, get him. Yep, one over there, they were unrighteous. Get them. Yes, those in the uniform were killing Israel left and right. I'm here to testify for you. I'm your witness. Get them. Yes, that's the man of Israel. Yeah, he was leading your sheep astray. Please get them. That's where I'm going to be at when that tribulation comes down. That's the lesson for today. And we started off with a prayer. And again, I don't know if all of you heard it. It was a man that prayed for my family when we started doing a show of ours. But here, we're going to close out a prayer. Again, like what I was just saying, who should be inside you and the what, the when, the what, and the who. The who should be Yeshua. And Yeshua taught us to pray in this manner. So, men and brethren, family, house of Israel, house of Judah, pray with me, please. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because you have all the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever and ever. Father, we pray that there was some understanding given in this lesson. We pray that anybody that will be able to listen to this message today or in the future, or until the time you decide to shut down these airways or we will not be able to listen to these messages no more, but glean some understanding from this. We pray that there is understanding will be given to me as well as others, that you have ordained everything in this place, in this order, in this time, that we need to be searching out your will and your way. We pray for righteousness to come upon us. We pray for your word to dwell into us richly. We thank you for giving us another day to get it right, because we could be caught in sin on this day if you had taken us away this day. But you've given us another day to get it right, to get our hearts right, to get our minds right. So we say thank you, and we pray that tomorrow when we wake up, that we will do the things in our ability to make this kingdom grow, that we will be found pleasing in your sight, that we did not mix the clean with the unclean, that we were not profane. We pray that the world will see us as you. We pray that they will understand that you are one, the Father is one, and we are one with you. We pray that everybody can understand that there is only one church, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism, that you have given us the one way to do everything decently in order that you have already ordained and set up. We pray that if there's any obstacles from people that we love and people we know from seeing the truth, that we pray that you can remove them, that that veil can be removed, that they can have eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray that as the days get closer, that your judgment is going to come upon this world, that Israel, that our family, that the elect will not be fooled, that will lean onto your understanding, lean onto your knowledge, and that's the only knowledge that will bring eternal life. We pray all these things in your Son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ. So be it. Amen.
Shalom, Israel.